Very good. Outstanding. Praises or testimonies tonight? Anybody praise? Testimony? Testimony from the revival? Praise from the revival? Anybody? It was great. Wasn't it a good revival? It was very good. Yeah, amen. Testimonies? Anybody? Yes, ma'am. Okay. Oh, my goodness. Okay. My goodness. Okay. And where's Mr. Terry at in hospice? He's back downtown. Is he at all conscious, lucid? Okay. Mr. Terry, it's a long old road. Long, long old road. Amen. Brother Marco, you want to pray for Mr. Terry? Lead us in that prayer tonight. Amen. Yes. 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 Amen. Yes. Amen. Amen. Very good. Very good. And then, Charles Goodson, y'all had his, or there was a farewell get-together for him. Was it down at Bethel? Is that where they had it? 2 to 4 Saturday. Was that a good event? Was that, anybody went? You went. Okay, amen. You went, Brother Kenneth? Amen. So now he's transitioning on to, him and his wife are transitioning on to assisted living in Palestine. Amen. Brother Kenneth, you want to pray for them as they transition? Brother Charles and his wife? Amen. Yes. Yes. Amen. Yes, ma'am. What? Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Okay. Okay, so they're not letting him go. Where's he at? Tomball. Okay. Jackie Sanson in the... Yeah, wow. Brother John, you want to lift up old Jack? Man. Yes. Amen. Yes. Amen. Anything else come out on the shooting in El Paso? Anything else? It's horrific. Was it not horrific? So sad. Any more people die? Still 20 dead? Up to 20? Yeah. That gunman surrendered. And then the shooting in Dayton, Ohio, was there 9 killed? And then they did kill the gunman, so that's 10 dead. And I think 26 injured. 26 injured in Dayton, and I can't remember how many injured in El Paso. Can you imagine being in a Walmart? Somebody comes in brandishing an AK-47, popping off rounds and killing people. Yes, ma'am. What you got? Uh-huh. Dispatched 9 people in 30 seconds. Wow. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, yeah. Right. And claims to be a white nationalist or something, I don't know, had posted a manifesto on a white nationalist website, chat room or something, I don't know. But sad days, folks. You're going to be shocked when you get to, revival ever hits China, you're going to be shocked when you get to heaven. You're going to be in the minority. There are more Chinese than there are anybody else. Revival ever sweeps that land, that may be the language we speak. Who knows? Who knows? But got to get all along. Amen. Everybody's got to get along. Jesus, he loves all the little children. Amen. He loves all the little children. Huh? Yeah. Yeah. Amen. All right. Let's have a word of prayer for those. Yeah. What's going on? It's not engrafted yet, and she's got an infection, and she got an infection. Okay. What's going on with Joe? Amen, Joe. All right. Outstanding. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you right now. We lift up these friends and family members tonight, Lord. We pray a special prayer for Joe as she come back, Lord, and seeks to bring glory and honor to your name and fellowship with the saints, God. We pray you help her as she makes these next steps. Give her great wisdom, discernment, direction. Lord, I pray that, Lord, even as she faces challenges, she'll just sense your presence with her and for her, Lord, and just pray you help her live that victorious Christian life, bringing glory and honor to your name. We lift up little Addison to you tonight, God. And we pray that you would help stave off that infection, that you would touch that little body, Lord, and remove what is ever ailing her, God. Take it from her. Remove it. And, Lord, this bone marrow, we pray that it would engraft, that it would become her own, that it would begin to produce what it needs to produce in her body, Lord, and in her blood. And, Lord, she just come back to health, come back to completely healed. Completely healed up, Lord. We're looking for a testimony of healing in that little girl's life. We're thanking you in advance for touching her. We're thanking you now for keeping her, Lord, as you've kept her all these months. Lord, you've sustained her and kept her here. You're not done with her. We know that you have a purpose and a plan for her. Lord, we pray you get her through. And Lord, as we think about these two mass shootings that occurred within about 13 hours of one another, Lord, we just pray that, Lord, the church would rise up all across this land. There'd be a great evangelistic push, revival. Lord, the pulpits would preach the gospel. Lord, the Bible would be lived by the saints. And Lord, we would have an eye. We would be attentive to the downtrodden and the hurting, the discouraged, the depressed. Lord, we would reach out to them and we would try to bring them into the fold of God. We would try to expose them to the truth of your word and let them see the love of Jesus and let them experience, Lord, so that the hate they have would just dissipate. They would just seek forgiveness for that hate for the fellow man, for people of different culture and color. They would just lose that hate. They would see people as a potential person to receive Christ, to be saved. Not to shoot, but to present the gospel to. Lord, we pray for these families in El Paso and, Lord, all the loss of life. We pray that through that, Lord, that you would certainly bring beauty from ashes and, Lord, that you would make yourself known in the midst of all this. I pray for the pastors and the ministers that will be officiating and preaching in these different funerals, Lord. I pray that Jesus would be mentioned, that the Word of God would be proclaimed, and Lord, that people would be pointed towards a loving God. And Lord, for these families in Dayton, Ohio, the same thing, God, that there would be a testimony of salvation, mercy, and grace that would come about from this loss of life, and these people would not have died in vain, that Lord, even in death, there might be some grace and some love and some mercy shared with people that need to so desperately hear it. We pray for comfort for these families, Lord, the incredible loss of life that's gone on, and Lord, that just the suddenness of it, and just those not able to say goodbye and say their last things to their loved ones before their loved ones have stepped off into eternity. I pray you comfort them, Lord. You love them, and you hold them up, and you sustain them during this time. Lord, I pray that the Christians in these communities and the churches in these communities would make themselves known, that they would be available to minister and to love and to pray for their own communities and for their own families and for their own people. And Lord, we pray that this cycle of violence that's so prevalent in our country, that Lord, it would take a holiday. It would cease. We get back to doing what we need to be doing, and that's loving people. Help us be lovers of people. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Well, let's take our Bibles and look at Revelation chapter 9. Revelation chapter 9. The last time we looked at this passage, it's been about a month. It was the end of June that we looked at this. And so you may be a little rusty on it. That's okay. We'll try to review you up some and get you caught back up. This is the seventh seal, Revelation chapter 9. I'll invite you to stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God. The seventh seal. This is the fourth installment on that seventh seal, and we're dealing with the trumpet judgments that take place within the seventh seal. We're on the fifth trumpet, Revelation chapter 9, verses 1 through 12. The Word of God reads this. Have you found it? All right, God's Word reads, "Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star from heaven which had fallen to the earth, and the key of the bottomless pit was given to him. He opened the bottomless pit, and smoke went up out of the pit, like the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by the smoke of the pit. Then out of the smoke came locusts upon the earth, and power was given them, as the scorpions of the earth have power. They were told not to hurt the grass of the earth, nor any green thing, nor any tree, but only the men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. They were not permitted to kill anyone, but to torment for 5 months, and their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it stings a man. And in those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will long to die, and death flees from them. The appearance of the locusts was like horses prepared for battle, and on their heads appeared to be crowns like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. They had hair like the hair of women, and teeth were like the teeth of lions. They had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots of many horses rushing to battle. They have tails like scorpions, and stings in their tails is their power to hurt men for 5 months. They have as king over them the angel of the abyss. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in the Greek he has the name Apollyon. The first woe is past. Behold, two woes are still coming after these. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word. Lord, what a sobering time this is. What a sobering message is contained herein, Lord. I pray that as we hear this and we read this, we think about those that we know that are lost. And Lord, we at least pray for their salvation. If not, share with them how to be saved. Lord, we at least lift them up on a daily basis that God would enter their heart, that Jesus would become their personal Lord and Savior, so they might not have to go through anything that we're talking about tonight. That they would miss it. They'd be raptured with the church, or they would see you through death, through physical death, God. They wouldn't have to go through this. Father God, there are worse things than dying, and this passage certainly reveals that tonight. Thank you, Lord, that you've saved us. Thank you that you have a heavenly home for us. Thank you that your grace abounds within us and on us and through us, through the blood of Christ shed on Calvary's cross. We praise you and we thank you tonight for that. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the inerrant word of God, and may he add his tremendous blessing to it. Let me get a drink of water, and we'll just rip snort right through it. Amen? Or try to anyway. Okay. Last time we talked about a horrible personality. That was the balance of verse 1. What do you mean by that? Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star from heaven which had fallen to the earth. We said back on June the 30th, I believe, we said, I'm trying to remember a month back. I've kind of perused that message, looked at those notes. If my memory serves me well, that's the devil. Amen? A horrible personality, verse 1. Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star from heaven which had fallen to the earth. He is the prince of the air. Amen? He goes to the Lord, and he makes accusation against us. Here he gets the boot. No more. Get out of here. He's thrown where? Cast to this place called Tribulation Land, Tribulation, the Great Tribulation. And so he's down amongst the midst of it in the fifth trumpet. We talked about a horrible personality, verse 1, and then we discussed, last time we were looking at this, a horrible place. What's a horrible place? Verse 2, he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke went up out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by the smoke of the pit. We were talking about hell. Hell. Real place? Hell, right? Legit? I mean, it's real. People that don't know Christ will spend an eternity there. God has not sent them there. They've sent themselves there because they have denied the faith. They have rejected salvation, okay? A horrible place. We ended last time on June the 30th talking about a horrible plague, which is the balance of chapter 9, verses 1 through 12 that we read. It is the balance of the passage, verses 3 through 12. When the abyss is opened, a demonic plague spews out onto the earth. The demons that have been reserved unto judgment. Well, where is that? That is in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. 2 Peter 2, verse 4. The demons that have been reserved unto judgment, 2 Peter 2, 4, are released to carry out their infernal mission. Now, we ended talking about this last time. We said, imagine a world in which every prison door was suddenly opened. And you've got murderers, and you've got rapists, and you've got serial killers, and you've got the criminally insane. They're all allowed to walk free. That would be some kind of world to live in, would it not? That would be some kind of world to live in. Can you imagine the chaos, the pain, the suffering that would occur, the senseless death that would occur? Well, the prison doors of earth will not be open, but hell's prison door will be open and emptied. And emptied. And a lost world will be thrown into a time of terrible judgment. So the demonic horde are described for us via John's vision and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit pinning this down for us some 2,000 plus years ago. The demonic horde are described as locusts. But we said on June the 30th that these are not insects. Then why call them locusts, Pastor, if they're not insects? Why does John refer to them that way? Scholars believe this description probably comes from the greatness of their numbers. One locust swarm reported, and I did refer to this back on June 30th, one locust swarm reported in 1889 covered over 2,000 square miles. That's a lot of real estate, friend, to have locusts all over it. Amen? The image here is of an innumerable host of demons being allowed to ascend out of hell onto the earth. Now, there are a couple reasons why I say and why scholars say that these are not real locusts. Verse 4, they do not harm plant life, but they torment humans. Verse 11, they have a king. And we mentioned back on June 30th, Proverbs 30, verse 27, tells us that locusts in the insect world have no king. I mean, they're just a swarm, man, a swarm mentality. So as we think about the horrible plague tonight, I think there's three things I want to share with you about this horrible plague. The first thing about these locusts, about these demons that are described as locusts, I want you to see the power they possess. Verses 3 and 4, the power they possess. Then out of the smoke came locusts upon the earth, and power was given them as the scorpions of the earth have power. They were told not to hurt the grass of the earth, nor any green thing, nor any tree, but only the men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. Do you see that? The power they possess. These demons are described as locusts, but unlike locusts, they will not be able to harm what? They will not be able to harm the vegetation. They will not be able to harm the green plants. They will not be able to harm the fruit-bearing trees, right? A literal locust swarm will leave a green landscape looking like a moonscape, looking like a desert in a short time. I mean, they eat it all. They eat it all. Locusts devour the leaf, the grain, and the stalk. These locusts do not come for the plant life, but for human life. And so I ask you, what is the implication of the demonic horde not harming the vegetation, the grass of the earth? The implication is this. It is that the grass of this good old earth, the grass has had an opportunity to recover from the previous trumpet judgments. You've seen property before when they've done a controlled burn. They do a controlled burn so that it does what? It aids the growing of the next crop or grass or hay or whatever, right? Kansas, boy, they did this all the time. Nothing like being out on your road bike, riding down the road, trucking along, and some guy's burning, you know, 40 acres next to you. You know, the fire trucks are running, you're going through the smoke, you feel like a smoke, you know, a fire jumper, you know? I mean, you just holding on for dear life, you know. And it's not real smooth road. You know, it's farm roads. You got the really little skinny tires. I've seen it. I mean, I've been there. I've watched the controlled burns. And they do that to help the regrowth. So the implication is the grass has had an opportunity to recover from the previous trumpet judgments. Enough time has passed, and the grass and vegetation has not completely recovered, but it is somewhat recovered. The power they possess. They will have the power to sting like a scorpion. I've never personally been stung by a scorpion. Anybody here? Anybody here been? You have? Does it hurt or feel good? It's worse hurt. My daughter, oldest daughter, has been stung. One of the lake houses we rented on Lake LBJ. How many years ago? 3 years ago? Probably 3 years, two years ago. I don't know, maybe three. Two. All right, she's right, two. Scorpion was in the bed, had fallen from the light fixture, under the sheet. She gets in bed and gets hit by the scorpion, right? Those people didn't come off the rent one iota. We were a little livid, weren't we? We thought, well, we won't rent here again, amen? And we didn't. But hurt, right? Hurt. Yeah, they'll have the power to sting like a scorpion. Scorpion stings are known to be very painful. They cause swelling, I've seen it firsthand, and numbness, but they are rarely fatal in humans. They just hurt and are uncomfortable. So these demonic beings are allowed out of hell. They have the power to cause great pain to people. But their targets or victims, if you will, are limited. You say, why are they limited? Well, because of what we read in the passage. God protects His own. There are people that are being saved during the time of the tribulation. God protects His own, for the demonic invaders will only sting those who are unsaved. Those who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. This means believers will be preserved, just as God sheltered Israel. Do you remember? God sheltered Israel from the effects of the Egyptian plagues. What were they to do? They were to put the blood on the doorpost and the lintels. Right? The death angel would pass by them. If they did not do that, then what would happen? Firstborn in the house would perish, right? Would die. Just as God protected then, those who have the seal of God include not only the 144,000 Jewish evangelists, right? But also the rest of the redeemed. This seal marks them as personally belonging to God and as such protected from the forces of hell. Revelation chapter 22, verse 4 reads this: they will see His face. They will see His face. And His name will be on their foreheads. You'll put Jesus on my forehead? Put it on there. Not ashamed. Amen. Jesus. The mark of the beast also goes where? Forehead, right? These people have rejected the mark, and they have what? Jesus on their forehead, right? Amen? That's what they got. The pain, so we're talking about the power they possess. We're talking about this horrible plague, the power they possess. But secondly tonight, the pain they produce, verses 5 through 6. And they were not permitted to kill anyone, but to torment for 5 months. And their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it stings a man. And in those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will long to die. They will long to die, and death flees from them. When this attack comes, people will not be killed, but they will be tormented for 5 months. They'll not be killed, they'll not be utterly destroyed, but they'll be tormented. 5 months. You look it up, you study the life cycle of a locust, and typically, from May to September, is the typical lifespan of a locust. 5 months. These hellish locust-type demons will torment men for 5 months. The pain inflicted upon men will be unimaginable. Every moment of every day, that demon will be there, tormenting, stinging, causing pain and suffering. There will be no escape. I repeat, there will be no escape. Lost men, lost women will seek every way they can to escape the torment of these demons, but nothing will help them. They will take pills to numb the pain. They will take potions to numb the pain. They will search out homeopathic remedies to numb the pain. Alcohol and drugs will not deaden the pain. For 5 long months, they will suffer, and they will find no relief from their suffering. If you're listening online, or if you've got a copy of this via a CD, listen to me. If you're lost today, tonight, lost in your car driving to work, you need Christ. You don't want to be in this passage that I am talking about tonight. In our day, people fear death. People attempt to put off death as long as they can. They almost believe they can flee from death. They do everything they can to postpone death's arrival. I'm not talking about the church or saved folks, but I'm talking about the average lost person out there. Doctors are consulted, pills are consumed, and everything that can be done is done to extend life for a moment more, even if there's no quality of life. It's some of the saddest existence I've ever laid eyes on, when there's no quality of life in a family or a loved one won't let someone go on into eternity. I mean, It's awful, awful. There are worse things than dying. I've seen it. But in that day, men will pursue death in an effort to be free from their pain. People, I'm telling you, if the Word of God is true, and in those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will long to die, and death flees from them. Listen to me. I'm not I'm not playing around with you here. I'm being as serious as I can be. People will leap from buildings and not die. They will seek. They will crush their bodies upon the ground, and they will still be alive and still be stung and still suffer. They'll not be able to die. It says death flees them. If the Word of God is true, then death flees them. People will drink deadly poisons to ravage their vital organs, and they think, this will finally be it. This, I will finally be rid of this pain and this suffering. They'll not be able to escape. Others will place guns to the temples of their heads, or underneath their chins, or in their chest, or try to blow out their guts, and they'll not taste death either. Oh, they'll experience the pain of the gunshot. They'll experience the trauma of having their flesh ripped apart, but they will not die. The Bible says death will escape them. Take it up with the Lord. It's way above my pay grade, but I'm just reporting to you what the Bible is trying to say. People may try to kill their loved ones to help them escape, but to no avail. This is the scene I want you to try to wrap your head around. For 5 months, only the redeemed, the people that have been saved during the time of tribulation, they've listened to the 144,000, and they've received Christ after the rapture of the church. Only the redeemed, the saved, will experience the natural cycle of life that leads one to physical death. But for the lost, there will be no funerals on earth for 5 months. For 5 months, death will take a holiday for them, as lost men and women will have to endure the pain and suffering inflicted on them by this demonic invasion. And it begs the question, doesn't it? Why? Why in the world would God send that kind of judgment? Do you see the dichotomy? Do you see the great contrast here? On the one hand, there's this demonic horde tormenting you, and on the other hand, there's an evangelist that cannot be touched. The demonic cannot touch him. And there's a way out for you. The way out for you is to receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And if you were to do that, you would be saved out of this torment, if your heart is not already hardened, right? But there will be some. There will be some that will not take it. They will undergo the punishment and the judgment. So do you know what lost folks during the Great Tribulation, do you know what lost humanity will finally find out? They will find out that there are worse things than death. Things like judgment. Things like God's wrath. Things like hell on earth. Now, the non-religious, the lost folks, or the prognosticators, these groups of people they talk about today, I've seen it on the different Discovery channels and the different shows. They talk about today, oh, when the big earthquake hits California, oh, when the big hurricane hits New York, or this tragedy, or this tsunami, or that tragedy happens, then that would be, and this is what they always say, that would be hell on earth. They ain't got a clue. They have not got a clue. It'd be awful, but it's not going to be this awful as this passage portrays. People today talking in the hypothetical reveal their biblical ignorance. That's what they reveal. For they have no idea of what they speak. For one day, if God's word is true and Revelation 9 is inspired by the Holy Spirit, I believe it to be, for one day, it really will be hell on earth. Well, we're talking about this horrible plague. It is awful. We've talked about the power that these demonic horde possess. We talk about the pain they produce. And then finally, we end tonight with the picture that they paint. The picture that they paint, verses 7 through 11. Beginning in verse 7, these demons are described for us. So we want to take a few minutes to consider the vivid description John gives to this demonic army. Verse 7 begins, "The appearance of the locusts was like horses prepared for battle." Horses prepared to battle, or horses prepared for battle. They resemble mighty war stallions, mighty war horses prepared for battle, straining at the bit. These horses have been trained. They're not afraid of loud noises. They're not afraid of men running at them with spears or guns. They're ready to go. They're ready to attack. lead us on, right? Horses prepared to battle. Verse 7 also says that they possess golden crowns on their heads. They come to earth as conquerors. That's what this Greek word Stephanos means. No medicine or act of science can contradict or heal their tormenting sting. You're not going to be able to say, time out. Geneva Convention says, you can't do that to me. That's not going to matter one iota. These beings are bent on pain and suffering. And for five long, awful months, these demons reign. They literally reign on the earth. Third, we see that they have faces like those of men. Scholars tell us this speaks of their intelligence. The human face is so expressive. It reveals the emotions buried beneath the surface. And these beings are intelligent and thus expressive of their evil intent and the intelligence to carry out their evil intent. You're not going to outsmart them, in other words. Hair like a woman, verse 8. They are attractive to people. Oh, look at that. Well, let's go up to that and see what that is. That's just so attractive to me. That will be the lure. They're attractive to people. It may be that they have some seductive charm by which they lure their victims to them. People have always been attracted to the occult. Oh, look at that. Well, then we're in a strange time. What are those things over there? What are those things? Let's go see. Well, they're going to find out. Yeah. Just look at the popularity of the so-called psychics. Is that still going on? They still do that? That's unbelievable. The current fascination with angels. We see in verse 8 also teeth like a lion. Now, in studying this and reading the commentaries, it's kind of hard to get a beat on this, but this is what the commentators say. It talks about how their bite is infectious and painful. And I want to do just a little bit deeper study, so I got online this afternoon and I was kind of looking at this. And out of the 12 most powerful bite force animals in the world, a lion comes in. Are you ready for this? A lion comes in at number 10. He's number 10 on the list. A lion comes in at 650 pounds per square inch in their bite force. It's not a mortal bite. It's a vicious bite. A dog, not our dogs, not our little weenie dogs, but, you know, like just a general average dog, has a bite force of about 325. And you know 325 pounds of pressure can tear flesh and draw blood and all of those things. A lion, 650. You go to a Bengal tiger has a bite force of 1,050 psi. He doesn't hunt with a pack. Lions hunt in a pack. They hunt in a pack. That's how these demons are going to act. They're going to act as a pact. They're going to find one or two, and there'll be a whole bunch of demons stinging and tormenting that one or two, right? Bengal tigers, 1,050. Saltwater crocodile, you ready for this? 3,000 PSI. Top, numero uno, saltwater crocodile. Alligator, you know, that we see here in these parts, 1,000-something, 1,600 PSI. Saltwater crocodile, 20 foot long, 3,000 PSI. Can take the head off a human with one snap. And has done that, right? So, think about a lion's mouth. Think about a human's mouth. Human's mouth, you've been bit by a human? I have, growing up, right? We used to have one of our little human kids biting kids. Ooh, that was so rough. It was so embarrassing. I won't mention the name, Mama. I won't mention the name. It's so embarrassing going to the daycare and picking up your kid because your kid bit somebody for the second day or third day in a row, and you go in there hanging your head. But you know how much bacteria is in a human mouth, amen? These lions' mouths are, oh, I think that's the point that God's trying to make through the Holy Spirit with John's vision here. We see in verse 9, breastplates of iron. What does that mean? They are invulnerable to attack. You're not going to stop them. And they are insensitive to the sufferings of humans. They don't care. Men will try to kill these demons, but that will be impossible. Men will scream in their pain and will beg for mercy, but their pleas will not touch the hearts of their tormentors because they are nothing but about death. That's what the demonic is. Nothing about death. That's all they are. We see verse 9, wings that sound like chariots. This implies swiftness. They will be able to surround and capture their prey with ease. Men will attempt to run, but there can be no escape. Stings in their tails, verse 10, we've already really kind of looked at this. We've already touched on their capability to inflict pain. It is mentioned here to emphasize the fact that the pain and torment of men is their sole objective. And then verse 11, we see that they have a king over them. They have as king over them the angel of the abyss. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in the Greek he has the name Apollyon. They will be organized and united in their attacks upon humanity. The fact that this king's name is given in Hebrew and both in Greek shows us that all unbelievers, both Jew and Gentile, both Jew and Gentile will be targeted by this demonic invasion. So my question to you is, what would it be like to awaken one morning to find this creature waiting for you? That would be one awful day, wouldn't it? That day will come for multiplied millions of lost people. Don't be one of them. Amen? I mean, this is a message you preach when you're trying to get the mission calls going. Amen? Well, people need to hear the gospel around the world. Amen? People hear this talk about demons and they laugh it off. And maybe somebody listening online and you're thinking to this and you've tied one on and you're thinking to this and you found this church website and you're listening to this pastor and you're laughing this. Don't laugh this off. This is for real what we're talking about. This is the Word of God. It is for real. People hear about this, and you may talk to somebody about this tomorrow or this week, and they, you know what they might, oh, that's so old-fashioned. That's so yesterday. That hellfire and brimstone, you need to tell your preacher to get with the times, man. Well, most preachers are with the times. They don't preach this. They don't preach this. They completely leave this alone. Why would you leave this alone? This is the last call, man. This is the last call of God to repent and come back to Jesus. Amen? Not old-fashioned. No one believes in demons anymore. And my reply to that would be, really, it would seem from reading this passage that God believes in demons. It seems from studying the New Testament that Jesus believes in demons. And just because you can't see them does not mean that they are not real. I want to take you back for just a moment to the Middle Ages. In the Middle Ages, there was this thing going on called the bubonic plague. Remember that from history? Bubonic plague. It was ravaging Europe during the Middle Ages. Men tried every way they could think of to cure the disease. People were dying left and right, bubonic plague. They came to believe that the plague was caused by clean, fresh air. You believe it? Clean, fresh air is what's killing us. Clean, fresh air. And so they plugged up their chimneys and they burned all kinds of disgusting things in their fireplaces and they sat in smoke-filled houses believing they were going to be all right. Whole cities were covered in foul-smelling putrid smoke. They would fire their cannons regularly to blow away the fresh air. If you were to walk into one of those towns and told the people that the plague was being caused by an invisible organism transmitted by tiny fleas carried by rats, they would have laughed you out of town. They would have laughed you out of town. We know now what they could not see was killing them. Well, let me tell you something. Modern man has adopted the same attitude regarding the spiritual realm. He can't see demons. And so since he can't see demons, they must not be real. Well, they are real. They are real. Jesus believed in them. He even had confrontations with the demonic in the Gospels. Paul had a run-in or two with demons in Acts. They are real. And one day, after we are gone, friend, after the church has been raptured out, after we are out of here, they are real and they are coming to this earth in the first woe. The first woe is past. Behold, two woes are still coming after these things. The thing I would remind you tonight before we have a closing word of prayer, you're here tonight is a real good sign that you're saved. Amen? And if you're saved and you fear God, you reverence God, you love Almighty God, you seek to bring glory and honor to His name, you got what? You got nothing to be afraid of. Amen? You got nothing to be afraid of. Live for Jesus this week. Share the gospel message with someone you know or don't know, someone you love or you don't love. Just share the gospel message. And pray for those folks that you know that are lost. Those that you have an idea that are lost. You really can't know the human heart but yours. But those that you see that are not exhibiting any kind of salvation, pray for them. That they would come back, amen. That they would give evidence of a saved life. Thank you tonight for giving evidence of your saved life. Coming together to worship Jesus, to sing praises to His name, to pray to our God. Amen. He's a gracious, awesome God. Is He not? Friend, He loves you. He wants you to have victory. Have victory this week. Amen. We'll see you back Wednesday night. Let's have a closing word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You tonight. We thank You, Lord, for the love and the grace and the mercy. Lord, we pray that You would help us be that mouthpiece, that You would help us be that testifier, that liver of faith. Lord, as we live the Word of God and as we project the faith that You've given us, as we project that into a lost and dying world, Father God, we pray that through this congregation, You would sow many, many seeds of salvation. And that, Lord, other churches, they would be able to harvest some of these seeds. And Lord, as other churches sow seeds, we would be able to harvest some of those seeds. And God, You would use all the churches in combination and together working for the common good to bring people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We can't save everybody, but we can tell somebody about Christ. We can't be the next Billy Graham per se, but we can pray just like Billy Graham prayed, that lost people would come to a saving knowledge of Jesus. Lord, we know You desire them to be saved. May we continually hold them up, trusting in the power of the gospel and the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, thank You that we can be here tonight. Give us safety as we depart this place. And Lord, may we be able to say it was good, it was so good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. It's in Your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. You're dismissed.